Welcome to Casual Fridays with me, Jerry Davich, and Karen Walker and Dan Clark. What's it like to be a union steelworker in this gritty region who has a talent for playing, guitar, singing, and performing? And what's it like to be noticed and travel to Nashville, Tennessee to record some cuts in a studio? On today's show, we'll find out by welcoming into the studio Jay Wakasi, a 44-year-old musician from Hobart who will perform one of his songs for Lakeshore listeners, and we'll chat with him. We'll also tell you about Ariana's Heart, a unique project created by a teenage girl who's a former foster child once bounced from home to home. She hasn't forgotten her past, and she's created 200 special backpacks for foster kids who may feel as lonely and fearful as she once did. You'll hear her heartwarming story. Plus, we'll give Lakeshore listeners our take on the show Hamilton that we saw last night in Chicago. All that and more on today's Casual Fridays, right after these brief news headlines. Stay tuned, folks. Be right back.
Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it's just Casual Friday, so.
Yeah, I know, you told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come into our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
That's sick, too.
Yeah, right.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich, me, Karen Walker, and him, Dan Clark. Our show on the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage where it matters most.
Yep, but if you miss any part of today's show, it's re-aired. You didn't miss a darn thing. 7 o'clock tonight and soon posted online, Lakeshore Public
Radio.
Thank you, Karen. .org. She's missing her key lines.
I know. I'm looking.
Where you
down
could find all of our previous shows, LakeshorePublicRadio.org. Yes.
What's it like to be a union steel worker in this gritty region who has a talent for playing guitar, singing, and performing? And what's it like to be noticed and to travel to Nashville to record some cuts in a genuine studio? On today's show, we'll find out.
Yeah, we welcome into the studio Jay Wakasi. All right. 44 years old from Hobart. Get it right this time. In our studio today, it tells all about it and why his head is still spinning from the whirlwind experience. Plus, Jay will perform a song for Lakeshore listeners in just a few minutes.
We'll also chat with Deb Wilson of Portage, whose 16-year-old daughter, Ariana, a former foster child who once bounced from home to home. The teen girl hasn't forgotten her past, so she created a project called Ariana's Heart, a heartwarming mission that has so far created 200 special backpacks for foster kids who may feel as lonely and fearful as she once was.
Yeah, Karen and I met with her last Saturday and her mom, and it's a real heartwarming story.
It really is.
It's a great kid, great story. Each duffel bag is filled with like a blanket, a stuffed animal, a toothbrush, a journal, and a personal letter of encouragement from Ariana herself. We'll tell you all about it and how you can help her efforts.
And Jerry and I will chat with Joyce Height from St. Timothy Church in Gary about his 25th annual Bible Bowl next Sunday.
Yeah, I'm a Bible expert, as we
Saturday,
all know.
Saturday, I'm sorry. Saturday. It's next
right.
Saturday.
So we will quiz people on Bible trivia. No, I'm kidding. I don't. Jesus wept. I've got
that. That's all you got.
Yeah, I've got
that's
some
all
of
you
them.
Got.
Plus, I'll give Lakeshore listeners a sneak peek at my weekend columns, and we will give you a review of the Broadway hit show Hamilton that Karen
Hamilton.
And I saw last night in Chicago.
I still got my Hamilton hangover going. Yeah,
and I have, and I'm literally still humming songs. You know how those earworms come in and you can't get them out?
Yeah.
I'm humming all
They're
these songs.
They're burrowed really deep.
Yeah. Aaron Burr.
Yeah, Aaron Burr.
Real deep. So all that and more on today's show. If you want to call in later, feel free. 769-9577. But first, we want to welcome into the studio Jay. Jay, welcome.
Woo!
I forgot my sound. Are there studio audience?
So she has to literally clap her hands.
Yay! Yeah. Where'd you
man.
Hide them?
Very warm.
So, Jay, I heard from you more than a month ago, I'm guessing. You know, and I promised to have you on the show, and I also promised to write about you. And one of the promises I am fulfilling today, and the next one I'll fulfill probably next week. So I found your story very inspiring because all of us have this secret passion in our life. I did too. I mean, maybe I'll write someday for a living. Honestly, that was my. I was working in a food business.
Your day will come.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Dan. For like 20 years, Jay, I was working. I was working in the mills. I was working at ArcelorMittal, which is then Bethlehem and then ISG, I believe.
That's where I'm at.
I know, and I would cater there with in family food trucks, and I was making these sandwiches in this business. And I started writing on a whim, and I go, maybe this will take off. So this is 20 years ago, and maybe this will take off someday, and it did. So I know having this secret kind of passion that you're going to do something else with your life, something fun, something that inspires you. You go in, you make your job, and I'm sure you're a fine worker. How long have you been at ArcelorMittal?
24 years.
See, 24 years. So you've held a job down. You're raising a family, making good money. It's all great. But there's this little secret fire, I'm guessing, burning. When did that secret fire start for you?
Well, for me, it started a rather embarrassing moment sitting around a campfire with a bunch of friends and they were all jamming, you know, and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And then my buddy Jeff Mitchell, who actually went with me to Nashville, said, you know, Jay, you can do a lot of things. I bet you could do this. So
when they were jamming, did you have a guitar in your hand?
No, I was just listening. That's what people do. You know, they're just wowing everybody around the campfire.
Right.
Totally incomplete renditions of their favorite lead lines in every song, right? Only half of Stairway to Heaven or whatever they've got, you know.
Right, right.
But it's still amazing when you're absorbing it. And then they said, "Here, Jeff said, try to strum an E. It's the only chord that hugs you back."
I love that.
When I strummed it, it was absolutely awful, but immediately I was bitten by the bug.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
And you didn't play before then?
No, I had done.
You didn't
nothing.
Sing in the church choir?
Nope.
You didn't hum to your wife in bed, and she said, "Shut up, Jay."
Just in the shower.
Shut up, Jay.
No.
So, what was your musical sensibilities like back in the day? Maybe in your teens or twenties. What did you like? Like classic rock because of your age?
Yeah, everything. I was pouring some sugar on me, like everybody else, I think, at some point. I probably listened to a little gangster rap that I probably shouldn't have, and as I grew, I started to like the more raw sound. Like I love the sound of the classic White Stripes, and I love like the Black Keys. I love things that are stripped down and simple and just still speak to people. So that's kind of what I've evolved, and that's kind of how my music has evolved. It's very simple music.
Jay, I'm not sure if you've been told this, but you sent me a few emails when I wanted to get to know you. Mm-hmm. I always ask people to do that, then I'll talk to you on the phone, then I'll meet you in person, kind of a graduation of sorts. But your emails sang to me. And Karen said the same thing. She read your email last night. She goes,
"Wow,
he really is a clever writer. You could tell your writing skills come out even in a lame-o email just to a schmuck like me, just to convey your life a little bit. But you have some kind of a rhythm to it, and I don't get that from many people. I mean, I like to write with that kind of a rhythm, to be honest.
Yeah,
I purposely try to do that. But that's me purposely
that's
getting paid to do it.
You just wrote
me some email off the cuff. Mm-hmm. But I could tell you have some kind of rhythmic writing skills, and it must come through with your music and with your voice. Maybe you didn't know that.
No one's ever said that
at the campfire, so to speak.
As a union safety guy, most of my emails are not.
Yeah,
that's right.
But I appreciate that a lot because, you know, you're always I want to tell a story. Every song for me is story based.
Right.
Because I want you to hang out to the end.
You know what
song.
What I always tell readers is when they ask me for suggestions or tips or hints of writing, I say write conversational and tell a story because storytelling goes back from the campfire, yes, pun intended, with how you started, from the campfire to the computer screen. We're still telling stories sitting around this glowing little thing. It used to be a campfire. Now the glowing thing maybe it could be a computer screen. People want to hear a story. It's been from Shakespeare to CSI, as I always tell people, and that's all you're doing with your music, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
What was one of the first stories you told through music? Do you remember?
Oh, man, one of the first songs I ever wrote, and I have it, I think, somewhere. I think it's on YouTube, it was a Wonder Woman song. And Missy's been getting me. She really wants me to record it.
And we should say Missy, Jay's wife, is in the studio with us.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, she's here with me. And she really wants me to redo it. At some point, I recorded me singing it with my stepson, our son, when he was 10 years old. And now he's graduating. He's a pilot. He just got hired, guys. It's so exciting. So that's how long ago.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're excited. And we're excited about both our college kids. But,
Did you go to college, Jay? It was about Wonder Woman.
Huh?
Did you go to college?
No, I didn't. I was going to Purdue Cal and got a great job, and I was a poor kid, and I used that as an excuse.
I used the
Definitely
same way.
Just an
I'm
excuse.
Making money. I don't need that.
I know. It wasn't a reason. It was an excuse. But my job is a great job, so I'm
so
very
glad.
Blessed.
Karen, I know Karen has like a list of questions that she burned already before we started the show.
Sorry, everybody.
But she was just curious. But please ask them again. They're very interesting.
Well, we're going to be – these questions – we're going to jump a little bit because first, you know, you're kind of hanging out with your friends at the campfire.
Mm-hmm.
You played an E chord and then you got the bug.
Yes.
But then all of a sudden something happened between then and being in the same recording studio as Maria Lambert.
Yeah, lots.
Not
happened.
At the same time, but she recorded in the same studio, but at a different time. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if you can tell our listeners what brought you from the campfire to Nashville and scale it down in a few minutes.
I'll scale it down. So at some point I realized that I wasn't very good at learning cover songs. So that's why I do very few of them. It wasn't my method. It's probably the number one method people use to get better.
I agree.
And with YouTube, oh my gosh, there's this endless resource, right, of cover songs. But for me, I realized it wasn't working for me. And that's I want people to, just because the system everybody's using doesn't work, please don't stop. I wonder how many great songwriters quit because they just were struggling in one aspect. What I did was I started to make up my own music. And then from there, I was like, oh my gosh, if I think to ever find out if these are good, I've got to share them with social media. Clicking that share button,
it's very scary, isn't it?
Was, you know, with the first song, between then and that first share though, I just got to say, I got asked to play in my church, and I play at City Point Church every Sunday, and it helped me. Anything, I feel like anything that you do for God, it just bears fruit in your life. And I just continued to grow and grow and grow, and they're so accepting for me. It bolstered where, and I ended up in a studio. I started sharing that music. The only compensation was, and there's like 14 songs on that demo. I say, you just got to tell me what your favorite four songs are, and I pray that there's four that they like. You know? and then boom, I'm here. You know,
interesting.
I'm here with you.
It must
guys
have
today.
Helped being fostered by a church community where they're going to be embracing, unless you're really, really bad. You know, like, Jay, we love your stuff. Boom.
Yeah.
But they must have been helpful.
They're so helpful. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you haven't been in a modern church, there are so many great musicians in the church.
We have.
It's incredible.
You go to a church sermon, you forget it's kind of a sermon. It comes out like a concert sometimes, too.
You're right. That's a great point.
And God and the faith kind of seeped in along with the beautiful music.
It's relevant.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only way I can put it. It's very relevant.
That's a great story, Jay. So when did you start getting confidence in your work? How long, whether months or years, did it take before you go, you know, I think I maybe have some kind of a talent here?
That was the tricky part. Because when you share things with your friends, you just don't know if they're being honest with you.
No, you can't trust friends.
You can't. So
can you trust Misty? Would Misty tell you the truth?
Misty is the most honest person that I've ever maintained an 8-minute relationship with. So she's well worth it, let me tell you. There's many. But Misty, my wife, she's very honest
with
me.
She'll be honest with you,
Yeah, but so I shared that CD with my friend Jeff, who then took it to a friend who grew up in the same neighborhood we grew up, who has a lot of connections. And he started emailing me. He said, Jay, I think you have something. I said, well, you just got to tell me if you're listening with a biased ear. Mm-hmm. I got to know, because I can't invest money, because this stuff isn't free, guys. I didn't go for free. Yeah. I think that's out of some movie, you know, where people go for free. And I get it.
Like
it's
Johnny Cash.
Thing.
Come on
like,
in, son.
Hey, you've got what it takes. No, you front the money. You're going to front it for the first trip for sure. So, you know, it was quite a hurdle, the confidence thing.
So you went to Nashville, and then they provided – the studio that you went to provided the actual studio musicians for you to play with.
Yeah.
And you were telling us off the air that, I mean, this is what they do for a living. And they were amazing, you said. They were just...
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. They have their own number system. They listened to my song one time. And I had sent some other reference tracks, because that's important to me, because I said, look, this is my song. But then there's some other modern popular songs that I'm like, man, if the spirit of my song evolves into this... You know, reference tracks when you do recording, like I had to learn to do all my own mixing, faux mastering and recording in my house just to produce that album as a demo, because I couldn't afford to do the other stuff. And you know, you watch YouTube, you know, as a musician.
Yeah.
That's
not easy to do.
No. And I had sent some songs off to get mastered, hoping, it's going to make it better. You know what it did? It highlighted my imperfections. So I was like back to the drawing. So 2 years of my life were poured into this demo. And those guys, man, they listened to it one time each song. We walked in the room and they said, and they just played it.
Those studio guys are the best of the best.
It's incredible.
They will just sit there. You can literally show them anything, one take. They just do it.
It was so amazing. Good. And then they're so honest, because they do it for a living, so they want to be associated with good work.
Sure.
So the guy's like, the bass player's like, hey, I didn't like the way I played the second verse. And I'm just like, and then they started to get into it, because it's not music that they do.
Sure.
So they started going, I want to redo my part. And the guy's like, no, your part was perfect. It was just the coolest experience.
I bet it was.
You know, I appreciate
Kid
you guys
asking
me.
Kid in the big musical candy store, that's what you were.
Yeah, it was so cool. And my buddy Jeff goes, I don't know what's happening, but something's happening. That just made my day, you know? It really did. Something is happening.
It's all happening, like the movie, right?
Yeah.
I forgot the movie. But it's all happening, Jay.
Almost Famous.
Almost
That's
Famous.
It.
And it's all happening right
all
now
happening.
For Jay Casey.
Right. In the moment.
If you're just tuning in now, listen to Casual Fridays. Happy Friday, everybody, with Jerry, Karen, and Dan are in the studio. And welcome into the studio also Jay Wacasey from Hobart.
Killing it, Jerry.
Killing it. And his wife, Missy, is here also. And Jay's going to play a song for Lakeshore listeners in just a minute or so. Karen, you had a question. I'm sorry.
Tell the listeners, how many hours did you spend altogether in the studios with those musicians?
Okay, so this is going to probably, I mean, three songs, completely done, vocals, all recordings. They stayed, they overdubbed some parts because they were liking it. We were there from 9 in the morning, tuning up, till 8 o'clock at night, done.
Wow.
Work done. And that's why, like I said to the guy, I said, well, what if I had a whole band and I came down, the guy that's the producer, he goes, you'd have to have $40,000 to do this. You'd have to have unlimited time. And,
wow.
You know, the mixing engineer was being paid. I mean,
it's not expensive to make an album. Or right. even do what you're doing, or it is expensive. I'm
yes,
sorry.
It is.
$40,000?
Not what I meant to say, but yeah, it's super expensive and it's really time consuming.
And Dan's talking from experience. He's a member of the Bonzo Turks band.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to afford that at all.
Yeah,
at
like all. The, like as a whole band. And yeah. so I figured out what's going on. People go there and they have these musicians do their music. And then you come back and you discover your own songs. The listener only knows the marquee moments in the song. And if they're in the song, it's familiar to them, you know, right. And that's all that matters.
You want it to seep in. Mm-hmm. I like to say the spirit of the songs. I like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
There's some kind of an essence or spirit. You want them to feel what you're putting out.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't want it to change. I want it to be.
Did the studio hire these musicians?
Yeah, that's part of me.
Oh, okay.
Me, you know, that's part of me.
And that was some of the money that you said that you had up front and you had to pay for the studio to pay for
Yeah, all that goes on you, especially the first time. And it's up to you to make it back.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you give our listeners a sampling of a song?
Sure.
You have your guitar handy, I hope?
Yeah, let me grab that.
He's got his guitar, his axe right there.
Exactly right. So, Jay, I'm wondering, when you had that day in Nashville, and after it was over, you went from like 9 o'clock to 8 o'clock or whatever it was, you must have just had the biggest exhale of your life when you got back either in your hotel room or drove home or whatever it would be.
It was like hard to sleep that night.
I bet.
Yeah, I bet it was.
But, you know, and I have to say this. People are like, oh, I had a grueling day in the studio, and you roll your eyes. It was way more grueling than I thought.
Oh, I'm sure it was. You know?
Yeah, because
sure
it sounds
was.
Like grueling.
Right?
Yes,
right.
yes. Absolutely.
What are you going to play for us?
So the song is called Coming to Get You, and what I love about this song and the reason I wanted to do it because I wanted to say is that now it starts with a ukulele.
Aww.
Oh, it's hard.
I'm sorry to laugh so loud, but...
And that's what the studio musicians kind of brought their
I told
own.
Them, I said, I want one of my songs to have the House of Gold feel from the 21 Pilots.
Oh, wow.
I said, I want it to progress like that. I said, it already starts with acoustic, but man, a ukulele would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer goes, you praise the ukulele. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
And before Jay plays the song, I'm also capturing it on video, and I'm going to post it on my Facebook page soon. So if you want to see it also, you could check out. Same thing. Go ahead, Jay.
Let me make sure I'm in tune, right?
Of course.
Taylor stays in tune.
Good.
I'm coming to get you, and you don't stand a chance. Coming to get you. Wait till you see me dance. You can't resist me. Did I just see you roll those eyes? You can't resist me. Because I'm not an average guy. Well, I know how to change your mind. A good man's so hard to find. And if persistence is such a crime, they better lock me away. They better lock me away. Well, I'm coming to get you, but you're playing hard to get. Once I rope you, I'll be impossible to quit. But I know how to make you mine. I keep you laughing all the time. And if persistence is such a crime, they better lock me away. They better lock me away. I see you rolling those eyes at those average guys. They got no game, their line's so lame. I see you rolling your eyes at those average guys. They got no game, man, it's such a shame. I see you rolling your eyes at those average guys. They got no game, their line's so lame. I see you rolling your eyes at those average guys. They got no game, but I'm not the same. Cause I know how to make you mine. Keep you laughing all the time. And if persistence is such a crime, they better lock me away.
They better lock me away. My favorite part. I said la la la, la 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 la. They better lock me away. I said la la la, la 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 la. They better lock me away. They better lock me away.
All right.
Woo!
Thank you so much.
That was Casey so great. Right there.
That song's a little bit about Missy.
Oh, really?
She was hard to get.
So, oh, that
and you
was
haven't
so
forgot,
good.
Have you?
No, I have not forgotten.
That was wonderful,
that
Jay.
Thank you so much,
good.
Guys.
You are listening
you.
To Casual Fridays. That was Jay Wakasey of Hopert. By day, a union steelworker. By night, a secret musician with a talent. Jay, where's this heading next? Where's your future looking now? You're waiting for this. Is it an album, a demo? How do you,
yeah,
how
so
do you call
I've
it?
Probably got about, it's called an EP, an extended
okay.
play.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, so, that goes back in the day. That reminds me of like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So then I'll make those available, and my goal is to make them available for free, but I know that some of my friends will want to pay for them. So, of course, you know, the big hitter in this is, you know, hopefully that, you know, to me, like I told you guys earlier, trying to squeeze dollars out of my friends, that's not what I did this for. I would love for people to pay for the music one day. But for my kids, for my son Tyrus or for Felicia, who plays softball, Olivet Nazarene, for them to text me and say, you're not going to believe this, but I just pulled up to a stoplight and I heard somebody playing your song. That to me is that's compensation enough.
That's
right.
All you need.
So
I noticed when you're playing, you kind of close your eyes. Like Miles Davis over there.
Yeah.
Say, don't bug me. I'm in a zone, my friends.
Right?
Why they didn't bump the mic?
You go in a whole different world. I love it. Well, Jay, we are so thrilled.
That was great.
For you.
That was
so
a
much
really
for
great
passion.
Song.
And I really appreciate
it. We appreciate
it.
You coming into the studio here at Casual Fridays. And I will be writing about Jay soon so you can hear all about his backstory and the future that it might be. Because he has some dreams. You can see it in his eyes. He has a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
Jay, are you playing any gigs around here?
No, I don't play live except for in church.
Oh, you got to go out and play,
you
man.
You
got
to go to church.
Go to church, Dan.
I know.
But I mean, yeah, hopefully I'll get asked to play. That's, you know, compensation isn't always money, like opportunity. Like, you know how afraid I would have been to do this, but all of my, I know this, I'm just, and I know it, we're crushed for time, but all of the freedom is on the other side of the fear, you know?
Oh, yeah. My gosh,
it's like
yes.
Everything sure. that. It's
you
all the growth,
that, yeah.
all the opportunity is on the other side of the fear.
Well, there's
so.
A song right there for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's already writing itself.
Yeah, exactly. You listen to Casual Fridays. Today, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk on the studio line with Deb Wilson of Portage, whose 16-year-old daughter, Ariana, a former foster child who once bounced from home to home. The teen girl hasn't forgotten her past. She created a project called Ariana's Heart. It's a heartwarming mission that has so far created 200 special backpacks for foster kids. We'll tell you all about it. Stay tuned, folks.
Everyone has a voice, but some voices aren't heard. Let's start the conversation. Politics, education, culture, Counterpoint. We'll bring you voices from all over the region on Counterpoint with Gerard McClendon.
Friday night at 8 on Lakeshore Public Television.
Contributions over the years made through our pledge drives have brought great programming to our listeners. Creating a legacy gift to benefit Lakeshore Public Radio builds a bridge from one generation to the next. Please remember Lakeshore Public Radio in your will, trust, or general estate plans to help create a legacy of an engaged and informed Northwest Indiana. Talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at 219-756-5656. Thank you.
Every Friday evening, right here on the set of Lakeshore Focus, I will be interviewing some of the region's most interesting people. Join us for an in-depth look at Northwest Indiana issues every Friday night at 7:30 on Lakeshore Public Television.
You're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich and Karen Walker. Be here every Friday.
Welcome to Casual Friday with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show on the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart. and Gary, providing coverage for needed for what's needed most.
Wow. If you miss any part of today's show, Karen will not tell you, I will. It's at 7 o'clock tonight and soon posted online, lakeshorepublicradio.org.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. You know, last Saturday, Karen and I met with a 16-year-old girl in Portage named Ariana Wilson, and she blew us away with this project she has. She's a former foster child whose parents, Deb and Howard Wilson, adopted her, I believe, back in 2008. And she hasn't forgotten her roots of being a foster kid, being bounced from home to home, and how that felt. So she created this project called Ariana's Heart, where she gets these duffel bags that her and her parents have purchased or whatever, and they fill it up with a blanket and a journal and some gifts and a personal letter from Ariana, giving these little kids hope that it's not how it's always going to be.
Right.
It could be temporary. You know, believe in God.
Yeah.
Have some faith. Somebody, you know, might adopt you like they adopted me. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful gesture, and we were so impressed. We want to have her on our show. She has school, of course, so instead we invited her mom, Deb, to be on the show. Deb, are you with us? Welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hi, I'm here. Thank you.
So glad. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being a part of our show, and thanks for your patience and listening to Jay perform too. I hope you enjoyed that.
It was a great song. Yes.
Yay. I'm glad to hear that. So, we were really impressed by your daughter Ariana, and I want our listeners to know about Ariana's Heart in a way, and also how they could take part in the efforts. My column, by the way, ran in today's Post Tribune. If you want to get more information, you can see it on page 2 in the Post. And tell us how this started in Ariana's heart of wanting to give back to foster kids.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I think that you either are this way or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, she had a very difficult life in her early life. I mean, there was just drama and trauma all around her. But, you know, when we met her, she was already, we could see inside that heart that she was such a giving child. I have to tell you a quick story. The very first day that we met Ari, we took her to lunch and we took her to Albany's Candy Factory.
Aww.
And basically we said, I mean, you cannot believe how big her eyes got when she walked in there. And we told her she could pick anything she wanted to take back. But before selecting any candy for herself, she kind of looked at us real shy and said, can I get a couple pieces of candy for my foster mom and the other girl? And it was like that moment.
Like
she showed us who she was inside. You know, she was a girl who thought of other people before she thought of herself. I mean, Dad and I were smitten.
I bet. And you adopted her later that year, correct?
We did. Yeah. It was actually a very quick adoption by adoption status. You know, we met her in February, and we adopted her right before Christmas.
Oh, that is quick.
So the idea was probably rolling around in her head for a while to give back, but it got kind of crystallized earlier this year. Did she come to you and suggest it, or you guys talked about it at dinner? How did that work out?
You know, we just were talking about different things that our family could do to give back. I mean, I feel like as a family, you know, we're blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of talked about some stuff, and she was saying, well, why don't we do something for foster kids? And we're like, good idea. I mean, obviously it's near and dear to our heart, so why don't we do something? So we just started thinking about it, and before I could even get any farther, she says, well, why don't we make backpacks? And they can have blankets and stuffed animals like my toy that I came with. And
her toy that she pulled it out, by the way, when we were at her house, we asked Ariana, what was your first toy? She only came to your house with one possession, and that was a Grinch stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
So she went back to her bedroom and dug it out. She still has that Grinch stuffed animal, which is very touching.
Hmm.
You know, she still has that, and she still has the very first stuffed animal that we gave her named Fluffy. It's a big pink dog. And
those
Fluffy
things matter
and
the Grinch, as kids.
They do.
Those
they
things
are.
Matter.
Fluffy and the Grinch, they have a place of honor in her room. I mean, those are the things that matter to her, even though lots of things have come and gone, you know. And I think that's what she's thinking about, you know, about let's give them something that they can hold on to that
right.
might give them a little comfort, you know, just like this sort of did to her. So that was kind of her. It was really all her idea. We just sort of
fostered
it.
You fostered it, Deb.
Let's
use the right words here. Sorry, I can't help myself.
Yeah,
so, Deb, since that happened, you guys now, when we stopped at your house, you had dozens of these duffel bag backpacks in the process of being filled. How many have you created so far, and how many have been given out?
We've given out about 150. We have the other 50 ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So they've gone to 3 agencies with a 4th on its way. I think you wrote about Kids Peace, and that was our first one that we gave it to because that's where we got Ari. So they are near and dear to our hearts.
I'll bet they are.
Kids Peace is, and then a couple of the other agencies, you know, that we've given it to are the Villages and SAFI, and we're going to be giving them to, well, I can't remember the name of the place.
Carmelite Home.
Remember the name of it. Carmelite Home, that's it. Yeah, so they're going to be getting some, I believe, the end of next week, so when we can set it up with them.
And I'm wondering now,
so it'll be about 200.
I know that the organization is not formally an organization yet as a nonprofit. It's just a wonderful movement. It's a gesture. But that's the plan, is to make this a formal nonprofit, get some donations, charitable donations and givings, and make this really blossom, correct?
It definitely is the case. As soon as we can get the rest of the paperwork together, I feel it. You know, if we can make it a nonprofit, we can make it bigger than just some backpacks.
Right.
You know, I mean, her goal is to give them some hope and give them some, just a little bit of loving, and to know how special they are in God's eyes. And I mean, a backpack isn't a lot, but maybe to some kids it's a whole lot.
Yeah, it's all they'll have.
It would have been a whole lot to Ariana when she was 8 years old.
It would have been.
Or seven or five or six, no doubt about that. And how could our listeners and my readers kind of find out more information? Is there a Facebook page they could visit?
Yes, you can go to Ariana's Heart. It's a Facebook page if you search under community pages. And or you can contact me on my cell phone. Can I give that number?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, 219-617-3969. Or you can email me at arianasheart4.13, that's 413, at gmail.com. And that coincides with her favorite Bible verse, which is Philippians 4.13, which is why we chose that email address.
And when we met Ari, she was shy, which I love in a way, as opposed to people who are like, yeah, talk about me, write about me, you know, and I, that really turns me off really fast.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I've learned that over the course of years. But she was so sweet, and she read this personalized letter that she drops into every duffel bag, and you can tell it's from her heart, and she really wants to touch some kids. And in my column today, I noted that one of the children who actually received her bag was an 8-year-old boy, and he just got so excited and said, it's all mine, it's all mine.
Yeah.
And I'm not allowed to disclose names and situations because her foster kids, but you have reached your mission, Deb, and so has Ariana. I mean, it's just going to start from here on in. That's why I was so happy to jump on board early. A lot of times I like writing about things before anybody knows about it. Like, and when I do, and I guess in the business it's called a scoop. I just call it like sharing something fresh with people, you know, and they don't know who Ariana was or who Deb was. Now they know about this project. Our social media readers loved
it. Oh my gosh,
it got all kinds of likes and shares, and people want to jump on board. So I'm guessing you're going to have a lot of support for this project. And if we can help you in the future, I want to have you back on the show, or ideally, Ariana, after school is out, possibly, and tell our listeners how the project has been and how many bags. You'd probably be up to 300 bags, 400 bags, whatever it might be. We hope so, anyway.
I hope so, too, because this is something that's very important to her, and she's really, just really loving putting the bags together. She puts them together so carefully. I mean, she makes sure they're color-coordinated and they have a theme, and
And they're all like age appropriate. There's like for a young boy or a young girl or an infant or an older boy or an older girl. So
if you want to jump on board, or if you know a child in need, a foster kid who could use these, feel free to, you could contact me if you want. You can visit my Facebook page. You can contact the Ariana's Heart Facebook page also. Deb Wilson, thanks so much for being a part of our show.
Thank you so
and
much.
Really, thanks for introducing us to your daughter.
Oh, well, thank you for getting to know us a little bit better.
Yep, you're welcome. All right, take care. Listen to Casual Fridays, folks. I'm Jerry. She's Karen.
I'm Karen.
He's Dan. In the studio with us is Jay and Missy, who you heard perform earlier in the show. Tell you what, maybe we'll take a quick little break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about this Bible Bowl taking place in Gary next Saturday, because I'm such a Bible expert, Karen, as you know.
Yes, I know.
And we might talk about that. And also, we're going to talk about a review of Hamilton we saw last night in Chicago and some other stuff in the news that's in my mind. Stay tuned, folks.
Contributions over the years made through our pledge drives have brought great programming to our listeners. Creating a legacy gift to benefit Lakeshore Public Radio builds a bridge from one generation to the next. Please remember Lakeshore Public Radio in your will, trust, or general estate plans to help create a legacy of an engaged and informed Northwest Indiana. Talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at 219-756-5656. Thank you.
Everyone has a voice, but some voices aren't heard. Let's start the conversation. Politics, education, culture, Counterpoint. We'll bring you voices from all over the region on Counterpoint with Gerard McClendon.
Friday night at 8 on Lakeshore Public Television.
Every Friday evening, right here on the set of Lakeshore Focus, I will be interviewing some of the region's most interesting people. Join us for an in-depth look at Northwest Indiana issues every Friday night at 7:30 on Lakeshore Public Television.
Hello, this is Gary Mayor Rudy Clay. You're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davidge, who was born and raised right here in the Steel City and still has that steel dust in his veins.
Welcome to Casual Fridays.
I messed it up. You remember the name.
I was
going
to say, welcome to Chicago. Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show on the Lakeshore, supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency, and Hobart & Gary, providing coverage for matters most.
We appreciate you tuning in, as always, on Casual Fridays. And if you missed any part of today's show and missed Jay Wacasey's wonderful song he played for Lakeshore listeners.
So good.
It'll be on again 7 o'clock tonight. So you really didn't miss a thing. 89.1 FM. And you can check it out online, lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can find all of our shows. Look for Casual Fridays tab, and you could listen to Jay or anything else that you missed. Welcome back to the show, folks. We do have a couple things we want to talk about. We're also going to talk in just a minute. I don't know how well-versed you are in Bible.
I used to be, yeah. I went to Catholic school, so we had to know a lot of
are
verses.
You a recovering Catholic?
I guess you'd call me that. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So there is a it's called the International Bible Bowl, taking place next Saturday in Gary at St. Timothy Church, which I've been to a couple times in the past. It's the 25th annual, and they invite all these kids to the church to do Bible trivia. And there's different groups of kids, different ages, and I wanted to have one of the representatives from the church on. So Joyce Height from part of the Bible Bowl. Joyce, welcome to Casual Fridays. Joyce, are you with us?
Yes.
There you
are.
We found you. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. And I just want to share, just for a couple of minutes, the Bible Bowl, it's been taking place 25 years now?
Yes, it has. It started in 1993 at St. Timothy Community Church. And we've been going full blast for all of those years. Over the years, we've had at least over 40 churches participating.
Oh, wow.
And altogether, over 3,000 youth have participated in those 25 years. And we've had churches from Hammond, from Maryville, from Lake Station, from Chicago, and from Chicago Heights, Illinois. So, and Gary, of course.
Of course. And I circled this in my planner. It takes place next Saturday at the church. It's 25th and Grant Street. Is that about right?
Yes, that's correct. 1600 West 25th Avenue. There and Gary, right on the corner.
And the trivia questions, are they all Bible versed? And I believe there are a certain book of the Bible every year. It changes. Is that correct?
Yes, it does. This year is Jeremiah, and we're studying chapters 1 to 20 through 29. So it's such a long book.
Because I'm really an expert at chapters 30 on in Jeremiah, so I guess I won't do very well at this.
You're such a smart aleck, Jerry.
Maybe next year.
Do a better book for me, I guess. So do the kids, are they kind of like crash coursing to learn stuff, or do they already have it in their knowledge because they attend church every Sunday kind of thing?
Well, it depends. A lot of the students are really studying Jeremiah for the first time. And so they start as soon as we get the book. And in fact, I keep getting questions from students and coaches. Do you have the book yet? Do you have the book yet? So generally about October is when we choose the book, when we come back from our break, and they start immediately. So they've been studying a long while.
And you say students or children, are there certain age groups that take part in the Bible Bowl?
Yes, we start officially is 4th grade through 8th grade with the junior division, and but we do allow 3rd graders because they've asked us, and so we do allow that. And also senior division, we have us from 9th grade to 12th grade, and because those who participated in the past still want to participate, we allow that one college student, you know, up to age 19, yet to be on the team.
So, I'm wondering how smart is a 4th grader with Bible verses? I mean,
oh, very.
You'd really? I know they're sponges at that age.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jay,
junior division.
Nate.
Yes. Sometimes they score higher than the senior division. It depends on how much you study. And it's surprising, but it's really exciting. It's really wonderful.
Mm. So is it just one winner, or is it a team?
What we do is we have 5 members on a team at a time, and because some of the churches are larger than others, we allow there are 3 rounds. We allow 5 members at a time, so it could be as many as 15 who would compete on from that church.
Oh, wow.
And we have, yes, you know, at a time for the larger churches, we mm-hmm. had to do that. Yeah, St. Timothy at one time was one of them, so we had to have, you know, different rooms so all of them could participate. But they're, yes, they are, you know, just truly excited about that.
So does the winner get, like, a trophy at the end?
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm sorry, that was your question. All right. Yes, they do. Like first place team get trophies, the second place, the third place, fourth place, fifth. And they each get a trophy or a medallion, and then the church gets a plaque.
So everyone gets a trophy.
First, second, and third. They get first, second,
Bible
and third
Bowl,
place.
Yeah.
They get a
plaque.
Right,
yeah. Everybody's a winner in Bible Bowl. Come on.
Yeah.
Joyce, one more question for you.
Yes.
I wanted to have you on today's show specifically instead of next week's show, because if churches want to jump on board, they still can, or they could be a part of it. They could jump in. They could watch it, right? They could be a part of it in some form or fashion, correct?
Oh, sure. Yes. If they want to, they can get tickets this year, join us in that way, and maybe, you know, next year be planning to join us again. So, for tickets, our president of the Bible Bowl, we call it IYBB for short, is Kathy Matthews, and I have her number.
Yeah, please pass it along to our listeners.
Okay, sure. It's 219-985-2872.
All right, perfect. If you want to be a part of this Bible Bowl next Saturday, you can contact that number and be a part of it. And I'll be hopefully writing about it near future. Joyce, hi.
Yes,
we sure appreciate
you
being a part of our show, and congrats on the 25th year of the Bible Bowl at St. Timothy Church in Gary. Thanks a lot.
St. Timothy Community Church. Thank you. Because
right.
I think there's a Baptist St. Timothy.
Oh,
we're a community
sorry,
church.
Community.
Yes, we're a community church. Yes. All right. Thank you
thank you
much for having me.
All right. Take care. I'm
going to
have a bunch of angry Baptists calling me.
They don't like when you
confuse
the church, Jerry.
We don't have a Bible Bowl in our church, Jerry.
I'm so sorry. Welcome back to Casual Fridays, folks. In the studio is, of course, Karen and Dan, but also our special guest, Jay. Jay, thanks for hanging around with us and being a part of the show.
All right, thanks
for having me. Feel free to jump in. I want to chat also more with you. And also, as we promised listeners and on social media, I do want to talk about a couple upcoming columns that I wrote, a couple of interesting ones, too. One of that United Airlines fiasco that took place, the guy being dragged off. I'm writing about that for my Sunday column.
Mm-hmm.
And for my Monday column, I'm writing about a dog named Ping Ping that was shipped here from China. No kidding.
Wow.
And it was going to be turned into dog meat, but a bunch of rescue groups got a hold
China.
Of it in China and saved it. So that's my Monday column. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But before
dog
I do
here
that,
in the region now?
Yeah, yeah, it's here. It got safely rescued, and it came in a
big
crate.
Is it looking for a home, or has it already been adopted?
I think it has been already adopted.
Oh, that's good.
We'll find out in my Monday column, plug. So if you read that,
then
you'll find out. But I'll give listeners a little sneak peek of both of those columns and some other things. But first, let's segue into the Broadway hit show Hamilton. You know, it's funny because Karen's a big Ham fan, as it's called. And I was not. I heard the soundtrack and I really enjoyed it a lot. It's a lengthy soundtrack, the longest soundtrack I've ever heard.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of songs, a lot of words.
52 songs, I think.
And if you're not a hip hop fan, so to speak, then there's a lot of stuff. It's tough to keep up.
Yes.
And it's all about American Revolutionary material and historical facts. I don't know how the creator,
Lin-Manuel Miranda,
thank you, created this. It was just, it's a stroke of genius, literally, to see it displayed on stage.
Yes.
But before we talk about the show in a little bit, Karen's familiar with it. I learned about it. Dan, are you familiar with all with Hamilton? Have you heard about it?
I'm familiar with it, but I haven't seen it.
No, I didn't mean that, but you are familiar with it. Jay, have you ever heard of it?
No, I have not.
See, there's a lot of people who have not heard of it. That's why I wanted to talk about it on the show. My son, we told him that we're going to go see Hamilton, and Karen's like, "Oh, we're going to see Hamilton." You know, she's all excited. And he's going, "What's Hamilton?" You know, he didn't care at all. He didn't know anything about it. It was one of our presidents, he thought. Most people think he's a U.S. president, and he was not.
Oh, I would play some of the music right now, but I do see a parental advisory on the
song, but not others.
You can play.
Tell me a song that I can play
You can play My Shot. You can't play My Shot.
No.
You can play. Jeez. You can play.
Jeez, Karen.
It's that bad of a
you
show.
You can play The Story of Tonight.
Okay.
Well, either way. So, yeah, I guess there were a few curse words in there. Not too bad. It's not like you think hip hop and it's all, you know, a bunch of, you know, ghettoized music. It's not that at all. And I learned a history lesson by not only listening to the soundtrack, by watching the show lesson. I literally learned learned about how this guy Alexander Hamilton came from. He was an immigrant from another from an island.
He's from the Caribbean.
From the Caribbean, and he came here to be this wonderful. Yeah,
wow.
And he created so many infrastructures of the United States. I had no idea he did this, like the Treasury Department. And he wrote all these letters. He could not stop writing.
Right.
Till the day till his death, he kept writing. He was an amazing man, and that's why, of course, this musical, this Broadway hit, was about it. And you watch it come to life on stage, especially after so long. Karen, she's listened to the soundtrack.
So you started with the soundtrack.
Because I didn't think I'd be able to see Hamilton for a few more years.
Right.
Because
you know,
it's so popular.
And I thought, well, I can wait. But in the meantime, I'm going to read Hamilton Revolution. Was a book you bought me. And that was the story of the production, the musical production. And then I've just listened to the soundtrack over and over and over and over again.
How long did it take you to secure those tickets?
Oh, I got them a couple months ago, a month and a half ago or so. So it wasn't too hard.
It wasn't
you can
bad.
Secure tickets if you pay people more money. I guess I've learned the painful way,
Jay. You got a lot of Hamiltons you can get.
So
tickets.
They're all sold out through next January, actually. The show is sold out in Chicago through January. So if you want to get the tickets, you have to buy them from somebody who already bought them. And you know there's a little extra cost.
Right, they're going to say no. Yeah. Everyone's trying to
Jay, did you have a question?
Buck.
Yeah. Is there 52 tracks?
I believe there is.
And are all those going to be in the play?
The whole thing is, there's very, very few speaking parts at all. It's
all music and rhythm. And Jay, it's amazing. They tell a story in sing-song fashion, and you understand most of it. Some stuff is so fast, so hip-hop rapid fire.
Oh, man.
Yes.
And they're throwing out words, you know, Washington and Lafayette and all these things you think you know from your history books as a kid, and you don't. It makes it come to life. And it was just, from my observation from last night, I'll let Karen talk about the show more, about the show itself, but my observations, I'm a little more either analytical or introspective. I noticed this little family to the right of me, and I had a couple little black kids there, and they were just mesmerized because most of the cast is blacks and minorities, so to speak. And to watch them come to life and talk about American history, I bet they were just, it's a magical moment in their life, more than even ours, because they're going to see, wow, I could do this kind of thing.
Sure.
And it was like 95% a white crowd, to be honest.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I'm sure they heard hip hop, you know, they paid $300 a pop to hear hip hop, you know, I'm guessing. So even that kind of revelation, but the show itself was kaboom. So Karen, tell about the kaboom factor.
Oh, well, just to see it come to life, and these actors were just absolutely amazing. This is why they are the upper echelon of musical theater. And and even though I knew the whole story, I knew every word, you know, I still got teared up. I knew how it ended. I don't want to give it away, but I knew how it ended. You know, I knew what happened.
I think he's dead. I think Hamilton died.
Well, there's a couple of little things in there that the viewer might not know. And that was the thing with me. I knew every word. I knew what was going to happen. And here I'm thinking that everyone else knows every word. And so there's a couple of little comic relief moments, and everyone's laughing. I'm like, wait a minute, come on, you knew he was going to say that. You know,
they're not Ham fans.
They're not Ham fans. Karen. But one of the favorite characters of that show was King George. King George makes three different appearances, and they make King George as a bitter ex-boyfriend. Like, how could you leave me? What comes next? You know, don't you want my love? And if you don't love me, I'll send a full battalion to kill your friends and family just to prove I love you. You know, and he was just brilliant.
And very effeminate.
Very effeminate king, yes. And he was, everything was just brilliant. And the thing was that, not that I've been to a lot of theater before, but everyone has spent a lot of money to be there. These are hot tickets, and you couldn't hear a pin drop. And they said that first beat and that first lyric, everyone was quiet.
Even the kids. Even the kids,
in which I love. And which I thought was interesting is that they were passing out Twizzlers and water. You're like, Twizzlers, water, anybody want that? And nobody opened their Twizzlers through the whole show.
There wasn't a rapper sound.
It's a 2.5 hour show or 2 hour and 45 minute show.
It is. It's a long show, so this show
But it goes by so quickly.
So to answer your question, Jay, 52 tracks, and it's all very fast, rapid fire in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some emotional scenes, too.
Very emotional.
Like when he does die, the spoiler alert, Alexander Hamilton dies in a duel.
But other people die, but I'm not going to give that away.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we were just taken aback when you see something live. And Jay, it's even meeting you. I hear you sent me an email, let's say a month ago, and I learned about this guy named Jay. And I read it, and I say you have this rhythm in your writing. And then we could talk on the phone if we want, or social media. But when you meet somebody in person, something we don't do enough these days, social media takes that away from us.
Yeah.
And you hear something live in person. So if
it
you
does
could,
bring everything to life.
It does. So we can hear you perform, we kind of get a sense, an essence of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the same kind of thing happening also, that we get a sense of who these performers are and what this musical means and what our history was about. Because it's our, literally, it's our history, our beginning of our country.
Right.
And we forget that. And this music, whatever it takes to get people to...
Yeah, that's it. That's whatever it takes.
To understand our history again. And that's what Hamilton does. Does that answer your question, Jay?
The other thing I wanted to ask, would you say that this is something that bridges the gap for people who wouldn't think they would want to go to theater?
Absolutely.
And it's incredible that somebody created that.
No one ever thought, like, well, we'll all have a hip-hop musical about one of our founding forefathers. I mean, if you think about it, it sounds pretty odd.
It does. And didn't Lin initially perform in front of the Obamas?
In 2009, he only had one song written, and he was invited to perform in front of Michelle and President Obama. And this is Lin-Manuel Miranda just won the Tony for best musical called In the Heights, and they thought, well, he was just going to sing for that. But he had this rough draft of My Shot, which we can't play on the air because it does have a bad word in it. But anyway, he sang it for
We almost
president.
Did, Karen.
We almost did. If I think it was probably not even that bad of a shot, but I mean, bad of a word. But he sang it. It was so raw and it was so real and it just brought everyone to their feet. And if you've got time or if you just want to listen to just a few tracks from the soundtrack, the first three songs are just...
Just to get a taste of
just
it.
Just to get a taste
either
of
way,
it.
Either way, yeah. It got rave reviews on purpose. We get rave reviews also. So that's our synopsis of the show itself, and we can't say a bad thing about it.
Right.
All right, listen to Casual Fridays. We have a caller, so let's take it right now. Dave from Hammond. Dave, welcome to Casual Fridays. What's up?
Oh, well, I comment on your... I love your Facebook posts.
Oh, thanks.
And I comment on those all the time.
Yes, thank you.
So I wanted to call up.
Did I offend you? Are you angry at me? Are you going to cuss at me?
You know what? I think that part of the reason why we have so much dissension in this country is that people can't just sit down and discuss issues.
They don't want to.
Yeah. No.
It's easier just to do it anonymously or from behind a keyboard.
Right.
No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to wish you a happy belated birthday.
Oh,
thanks,
very
Dave.
Nice.
And then I wanted to do a joke. It's an original joke. It's something I came up with, and I think it's kind of funny.
Okay, we got a couple
is
minutes.
Is it clean?
Ahead. Yeah, is it clean? It has to be a clean joke, yeah.
So I don't know if you heard that Donald Trump went up to Wisconsin to visit
the
Snap-on Tool Factory.
Right. Oh, no.
So do you know why he went to go visit it?
Why?
The Viagra stopped working.
Okay.
Dave Hine, everyone.
Very good, Dave.
Coming to a comedy club near you soon.
Oh, there you go.
We should have a new...
I want to do improv. There's a class in Hammond, and I want to take the class, yeah?
There you go.
Well, Dave, we appreciate you calling in. Feel free to call in with a joke a week if you'd like. And we got to censor those jokes, though. Dave, thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye, Dave.
You too. Bye.
So we could have a new segment, like a call in with your
call in with your joke.
As long as they're clean. Anyway, listen to Casual Fridays. Jerry, Karen, and Dan in the studio. Special guest is Jay. We have a couple minutes left on today's show. I do want to do a little a tease about a couple of upcoming columns. You all heard about the United Airlines fiasco. Dr. David Dow being dragged off, 69 years old from Kentucky. We saw the videos, right? Of course,
it's
a horrible thing. There's a counter view to that, and a man named Nick Popovich, who's part of Popovich Sage in Valparaiso. He's the Repo Man. You've maybe seen him on the Discovery
Airplane
Channel.
Airplane Repo Man.
Repo Man. He had a TV show about him. He has a counterview saying that Dr. Dow, what he did was wrong, and United was within their legal right not to drag him off, but to request him to be off. And people forget the big picture that if the guy just – because there was four people who were asked on that flight, we'll compensate you, please leave. And three of them says, $800 and a hotel, I'm in. Mm-hmm. Karen and I would have jumped at that.
We would have jumped on it within 4 seconds.
We would have told our kids to stay home alone. We don't care about you right now.
Frozen pizzas in the fridge.
You'll be
in
fine.
In the freezer. You're fine.
But Dr. Dow did not do that. He fought it. Of course, he got dragged off. It became a big fiasco. And I thought it was a reflection of not only United Airlines and maybe Dr. Dow, but also a reflection of our descent of our society. That's the ending of my column. It's going to run on Sunday. And we're really kind of doing a nosedive. We could crash
really
and burn
are.
At some point.
Yeah.
And this incident totally reflected that this guy could have got off in a nicer way. The security guards could have not dragged him off in a much more civilized way. United could have not backpedaled as it did with the CEO. And a nicer – everything could have been better.
But who wins out of the whole thing?
well, Dr. Dow's going to get a nice cash settlement.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
In like 4 months, and we're not going to be able to hear about it, and it'll be unannounced.
He's going
to
buy an island somewhere.
Yeah, right.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll buy his own plane.
Yeah, right.
Drag everybody he wants that. Off that.
Right.
So that's my column coming out on Sunday. And then on Monday, it's about this dog. It's a greyhound dog named Ping Ping coming from China. It was going to be part of the dog meat industry in that country because, as we know, I think 50% of Chinese people still consider dog meat part of their nutritional supplement, what it might be. So a lot of rescue groups are trying to do what they can. And I'm not like a dog person at all. The big joke in our house is, you know, I don't want any dog near me at all.
We do have a dog.
Yeah, so, and I rarely write about pets or dogs, but I thought this was interesting because this dog is bringing a message back from China. It was rescued. Mm-hmm. It's here now. It's in this corner of the state. It's going to be fine. It was malnourished. It's going to be taken care of. But it's bringing this message of there's a bigger issue taking place in the country and also in the world. And it's this dog meat trade. And a lot, if you're a pet lover and a dog lover, that's the last thing you want to hear is dog meat trade.
Yeah. What?
Those are three horrible words to listen to.
Really quickly, is that something that they do because there's a lack of like meat?
I think it's both. I think it's cultural. It's
cultural
and it's also lack of meat. So you can read the column on Monday, not only to learn about this dog Ping Ping, but about how you can be part of this process to avoid it from happening in the future. That's why I want to write about it.
But oh my God, we're already there?
We're at the end of the show. Yeah. We want to thank
so quick.
Our special guest
hour.
In the studio, Jaywa Casey from Hobart.
Thank you so
yes.
much
for playing. And Missy, also his wife's in here. Thanks very much.
Don't forget us when you make
and
your
Deb Wilson,
Grammys.
And Ariana's Heart. And also the Bible Bowl next Saturday. I want to thank all of our listeners. If
thank
you missed
you.
Anything,
thank
it's
you, Dave,
re-aired
for calling in with your jokes.
7 o'clock tonight. Post online, lakeshorepublicradio.org. Have a good weekend. And
have a casual Friday.
That too. Take care.